prophets is connected with the letter P. Detail. Now, of course, you have a lot of details in the major prophets, but basically speaking, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel are telescopic prophets. The minor prophets are microscopic. Somebody might come to the end of Daniel when he's reading and say, oh, I don't feel I've gotten enough out of these first four. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Before I go to the minor prophets, I better go back to the major prophets. You know, that's the way some people read the Bible. My brother-in-law told me once that he was reading through the whole Bible. He said, I came over there into Kings. He said, I just felt lost over there in Kings. So I just decided I'd go on back to Genesis, start all over again. Well, don't do that when you come to the minor prophets, because the minor prophets will take particular messages from the major prophets and will develop them in a microscopic way in greater detail. So that's one advantage of the minor prophets, and that's one advantage of the major prophets. I can just give you an illustration of how telescopic the major prophets are. Jeremiah is 13 and a half pages longer in my Bible. Here's this big wide margin Bible. It's 13 and a half pages longer in my Bible than all the minor prophets put together. And Ezekiel is 7 pages longer than the minor prophets put together. And Isaiah is more than 5 pages longer than all put together. See, Isaiah is longer than all the minor prophets. Ezekiel is longer than all the minor prophets. Jeremiah is the next to the longest book in the Bible. Psalms is the longest book. Jeremiah is the next to the longest book. I like to refer to the major prophets as the all-inclusive prophets. They just summarize the whole message. They give you the broad sweep. Oh, Isaiah gives a wonderful and a broad sweep. Jeremiah is not as all-inclusive as Isaiah, but it's, relatively speaking, it's all-inclusive. So don't feel too bad if you feel there's an awful lot in Jeremiah you don't understand. Of course, you'll be saying that even when you get to heaven. If there's a lot there, you're going to have to learn more and more, even through all eternity. But then come to the minor prophets, and they are restricted prophets. They restrict the message to individual things. Now, preachers, there are two kinds of sermons, and neither one takes the place of the other. One is the telescopic sermon. You don't have much of that from the average preacher, where he takes a whole book in the Bible. Do preachers ever preach on whole books in the Bible? That can be very helpful. Take a whole book and just one sermon, yeah. But you go into it in detail. Sometimes if you do that, you may teach people more about that book than somebody does if he spends a whole year preaching through a book. Because if he preaches through the book, he just takes the verses individually, often without giving the overall picture. So telescopic preaching, brother preacher, that's a great field. And there are certain books written on that. I have some books in my library called Sermons on the Books of the Bible. And that can be very helpful. Then the restricted prophets, they help you to particularize. Major prophets help us to summarize. And the minor prophets help us to particularize. My 16th general impression of the major prophets is connected with the letter S. It varies in terms of an individual's system of interpretation. He has a certain system of interpretation of Bible prophecy that would make a difference. But some say that the Old Testament contains 8 times as much about the second coming of Christ as it does about the first coming. Now, not all would accept the proportion 8 to 1. It depends on your system of interpretation. But anybody who's in his right mind would say that the Old Testament says a great deal about the second coming of Christ. And anybody is incomplete in his knowledge of the second coming if he confines it to the New Testament. Because that New Testament revelation is built upon the Old Testament revelation. Let me mention two principles that help us to preach and teach the second coming of Christ. I find these in the major prophets. The first principle is preach the second coming along with the first coming. Preach the second coming along with the first coming. Now, some preachers think that they have to have specific sermons on the second coming in order to preach the second coming. Of course, that's one way to do it. And you might even preach a series of sermons on the second coming, but you don't have to do it that way. Particularly, is that true? One preacher, I'm telling you who else, Brother Tom Hayes. Brother Tom Hayes is a great preacher. And Brother Tom Hayes told me that he doesn't preach much about the second coming. He says, the more I study, the less certain I become about some of those details. And he says, I don't preach the second coming as much as I used to. Well, I think he should. And he doesn't have to go into all those difficult details. Maybe some of those will clear up as he goes along. But one of the main ways to do it is preach the first coming, and then the first coming takes right on to the second coming. Dr. McQuilkin, each Christmas, he sent out a booklet over the radio. He used to be on WIS. And he had an audience of about 125,000, they estimated. I think it's full of that. Because my mother-in-law got his broadcast up in Tennessee. And it covered an awful lot of territory. And one of his favorite Christmas messages was the relation between the first coming and the second coming. First coming's incomplete without second coming. Peace on earth, goodwill to man. Yeah, but that won't come fully until the Prince of Peace comes back again. And then the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth even as the waters cover the sea. Preach the first coming along with the second coming. Now, in the study of Old Testament prophecy, let me give you two key passages, one from the New, and then one from the Old along with the New. 1 Peter 1:11. 1 Peter 1:11 says that the prophets search what time or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them. Notice that? It doesn't say the Spirit of God. Of course, he was the Spirit of God. It says the Spirit of Christ. See, the Spirit of Messiah. How could Isaiah talk about Christ? The Spirit of Christ was in him, the Holy Spirit. Spirit of Christ, Spirit of Messiah. How could Jeremiah do it? How could Daniel do it? The Spirit of Messiah was in him. The Spirit of Christ in them did point unto when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ, first coming, and the glories that should follow them. That's the second coming. And you find often the word and connects the two. Before you have the word and, you have the first coming. And then after the word and, you have the second coming. It's like this sometime. Here's, and it comes, and. That's how close they are. That's often called the landscape idea of Old Testament prophecy. You know why it's called a landscape idea? Because when you stand at a distance and look out at a landscape, two trees seem to be very close to one another, but when you come to them, you realize they're separated. That's the landscape. You have that over and over in the Old Testament prophecy. The landscape idea. And sometimes it's like this. They're separated just by the word and. Sometimes it's like this. They aren't separated at all. They're in a blending. And part of it is fulfilled partially in the first coming and finally fulfilled in the second coming. You have that often. So, brethren, one of the best ways to preach second coming is to preach the first coming along with the second coming. Then you're on much more certain ground. And then you come and say, well, I'm not sure about this. All right, but you're much more certain about the first coming. I was at a young people's conference one time, and there were some young people there who were brought up on the idea that you just had to have a lot about the second coming in every conference. So we didn't have too much about it in the conference, and we had a question box. One question was, why don't we have more about the second coming? I thought one of the speakers gave a very good answer. Because we don't think you understand the first coming. Okay, sure thing. Spurgeon made many references to that. He said, I don't preach nearly as much about the second coming as I do the first. He said, I'm clear on the first. I'm not as clear on the second. Yeah, I preach second. In fact, I've got a book Book of His Sermons. They're great too. On Sermons on Second Coming, it was Spurgeon. And he preached them. But he preached primarily First Coming. And when I read him, it isn't just every little point he says, but I just have a feel that dear man of God's headed the right way. And it's clear. He doesn't preach a lot of little things that you're guessing at. He makes a lot of applications I've never thought of. But they're applications. And we need to have them. So preach the First Coming along with the Second. Now, here's your other twofold scripture. It's Isaiah 61, 1 and 2, compared with Luke 4, 16 to 21. Isaiah 61, 1 and 2, compared with Luke 4, 16 to 21. Listen to Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. Spirit of the Lord Jehovah is upon me, because Jehovah hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the year of Jehovah's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. All right, now hold that. That's Isaiah 61, 1, 2. Now listen to Luke 4, 16 to 21. In Luke 4, 16 to 21, the Lord Jesus quoted that. And notice what he said. And Jesus came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. And he entered, as his custom was, into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And he opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. Did you notice that? I thought, well, he was through. No, he's just beginning. See, they stood up to read the scriptures and they sat down to preach. See, they sat down, well, he's through. No, he's just beginning. See? And then he says, "Today hath this scripture been fulfilled in your ears." You see the significance? It's often said when Jesus read in Luke 4, 16 to 21 from Isaiah 61, 1 and 2, he stopped at a comma. He didn't complete the sentence. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he stopped. And he left off, "and the day of vengeance of our God." See, the day of vengeance of our God is the second coming. And he stopped right in the middle. Then he said, "Today is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." He couldn't have said that if he'd gone through the whole passage, because the day of vengeance of our God comes at the second coming. That's a very great key. Often when I come to something and somebody states a principle, I say, "Sounds good, but now be sure that that's a scriptural principle." Well, it's a scriptural principle. The way Jesus read the Old Testament prophets. Then the second principle, which helps us to preach the second coming. The first is preach the two comings together. The second is preach the Christ of the second coming. I know one preacher was telling me some time ago that he wanted to preach some sermons on the second coming and emphasize the one who's coming. You know, you can talk about the events so you really forget the one who's coming. You can do that. I've seen it. And I know it happens. I've got a good many books that do that. I get some good from those books, but they don't help me to know Jesus better. I have to go into the Word, and I have to get something else to help me know Jesus better. That's one reason why I love Spurgeon. He just always helps me to know Jesus better. I don't think I ever read anything from the Old or New Testament where he doesn't help me to know the Lord Jesus better. Preach the Christ of the Second Coming. One way to do it, I just told that preacher, is just take the Second Coming titles. You have them in different books, especially in a Revelation. See, he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the Bright, the Morning Star. There are many of those titles of one who's coming again. Then you keep as much as you can on undisputed ground. Remember, preacher, you're not here to prove a point. You're here to cause people to know Christ and to make him known to others. Then there's a place for going into those little points. I love to hear. I like to sit in sometimes on those who really have studied some of these things in detail and just listen to them. You might think I couldn't keep my mouth shut, but I'll tell you I can. When I sit with some of those men, I was with Dr. Ironside. I drove him over to Batesville. Boy, I pumped him full of questions. I didn't do much talking. I let him do the talking. I just took advantage of that man of God. I'm chauffeur in that day, and I like to chauffeur some others too, just like that. You take the titles of Christ relating to the second. Take that great Christmas prophecy, Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Father of Eternity, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government there shall be no end. You go right into the second coming. Right into the second coming. Then you got your titles right there. Who is this one coming back? He's the Mighty God. You see, the word God means the Mighty One. So just take it literally. The Mighty, Mighty One. That's who he is. He's the one coming. And when you get your eyes fixed on him, then anybody who really loves the Lord is going to get something out of it. He may not agree with you at every point, but he's going to get something out of it. Let's have our prayer. Now will you thank the Lord for this, that this one is living in you now. The Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Father of Eternity, the Prince of Peace. Let me say the verse and ask you to say it aloud with me. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace. Say it with me aloud, everybody together. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace. In Jesus' name, amen.